podcasting from the Sportique Studios, where football season is basically over, but hockey season's just getting started.
Yeah.
This is the South Stands Denver Fancast. I'm Colin Daniels with guest producer Bronco Jeff.
Ooh la la.
Longtime Avalanche writer and contributor to The Athletic, Ryan Boulding.
Hey, hey.
And your host, John Reedy.
Yeah. Woo. He's getting, Jeff's getting texts and he's killing the music. That's awesome. High quality production. High quality production here on the South Stands Denver Fancast.
You can count on us.
That's
right. It's hard being so popular.
It really is. So, welcome to the show, everybody. We're back at it. It's awesome. Awesome to be here with everyone here.
You're wearing your Avalanche hat.
So. I am. I'm wearing my Avalanche hat in honor of the Avalanche and our guest. A three-time, four-time guest? How many times has it been? Ryan Boulding, everybody.
I think it's four now.
It's four times.
Yeah.
Ryan,
I was thinking back to the original.
You go back to the original space, yeah. I believe. I think that's where we first met Ryan, right?
Down in Inglewood,
yep.
Yeah, I think with Angelique at the time.
Oh, you were there with her.
I think so, yeah.
You guys were there together.
I think.
Oh, yeah.
Angelique Murray?
Angelique Murray, yeah. She's still around. Still see her tweeting about Avalanche and Nugget stuff, so talk to her once in a while.
That's the first time I met you guys.
That's right. Yeah. But then you've been on by yourself probably at least two more times.
Yeah, once here already. So
for sure. So welcome back.
Thank you.
It's nice to see you.
Yeah, looking really good these
we
days.
We did one at Colin's house.
At my house?
Yeah.
Oh, around the table.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
That seems like it happened to somebody else.
Yes, it was a long time ago.
I don't remember that at all. What was the reason why we were at Colin's house?
Maybe it was between shops.
Probably so. We were probably still doing the build out.
Yeah, that's right. Maybe we didn't have a space. Okay, that's cool. All right. Well,
it just came to me. It's not like a core memory that I have.
It's definitely not a core memory of mine, and it's not because of you, because we
it's
have
because we don't have very good memories.
That's right. That's really it. But
it's the first thing to go.
But we go a long way back with Ryan, and I think we were looking for somebody to talk Avalanche with us, and I think I reached out to him on Twitter. And he was gracious enough to come down. He's gracious enough to come down tonight. So it's good to have you back.
It's great to be back.
How are things?
Things are good. Things are busy. You know, a lot of preseason, a lot of training camp.
Yep. You're down there. You're covering the team.
Yeah. Yeah. I think myself, along with everyone in the locker room and around the team, is just ready to get going. Like we're sick of talking about the potential and how does this one change during practice feel and – you know, how's Denver? Like, let's go. Let's get into it. Let's talk about winning and losing and all that stuff.
Well, and speaking of, what are the expectations this year? I mean, I know I looked today at some of the Stanley Cup odds. Avalanche are right there. I mean, in most books, they're number one. And along with Carolina, kind of right there. What's the optimism in the building like?
I think the expectation is cup or bust. I really do. And you've got these guys coming in who are kind of wowed by the work ethic. You know, I talked to Miles Wood today, who was talking about Nathan MacKinnon and comparing him to what he's learned about Michael Jordan from the Last Dance documentary, that kind of thing. But everybody comes in and they're wowed by the seriousness and the work ethic. And it reminds me of, you know, 10 years ago when this team couldn't land free agents because they weren't close enough. You know, now they're kind of a destination where guys want to come in. They want to play whatever role they can, knowing that they stand a legitimate chance at winning the Stanley Cup.
That's what you want. That's like what the Broncos used to be.
And what the Nuggets are now.
What the Nuggets are now. People, if you got a team that people go, hey, I know if I go there, we're going to have a good chance, and these guys are going to bust ass, that's what you want. Because then you can be like, hey, I'm gonna hitch my wagon to these guys, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So I don't think the odds are misplaced at all. You know, it's tough. Carolina's been up there for, I don't know, 5 years maybe, and it's just a team that cannot get it done. They cannot get over that hump and do it. And, you know, until they can prove otherwise, I don't see that they do it. So I think the Avs stand a real good chance. But, you know, playoffs, the whole season, it's a long season. The one thing about this team is they're a little bit salty about last year, but pretty well rested. You know, they had like the deepest playoff run in NHL history and the shortest offseason in NHL history before last season. So they went into it like they had just won the cup and then gotten right back on the ice. They weren't healthy and they suffered all season long. So
that's what I think the key is here, because if you look at what Tampa Bay did, what's going on? Is that something else on your phone?
Just another text coming through. Disregard.
So many nudes.
Yeah, I know. So many nudes coming through there. Tampa Bay, like, you know, they won the one in the bubble, but then they won, I believe, after that. And then they went again. That's a long time to be playing a whole lot of hockey when everyone else is hanging out, right? So that's the thing with the Avalanche, is that they got bounced early. So they've just been sitting around waiting and waiting and waiting. That, I think, is in their favor.
Yeah, that works to their favor. They're well-rested. I think Tampa deserves a lot of credit. Like, people like to discredit them for winning in
the
bubble.
That's tough, though.
Right? People like to discredit them for also beating Montreal in the next one, saying, well, you didn't get a real challenge into the Avalanche. I am not alone in the thought that if that series against Tampa, Tampa and Colorado, had gone to Game 7, I feel like Tampa would have won.
Wow,
I really do.
Really?
Like, both teams were just the walking dead out there. Everybody was hurt. Everybody was injured. I don't think Nichushkin could play.
Yeah, his foot was all fucked up.
Yeah, he barely played in the game six. So, Tampa deserves credit for having gone that far.
Sure.
Over and over and over again. A lot of it is Vasilevsky, too, which makes this season very interesting. I mean, just opening night tonight, Jonas Johansson is their starting goaltender. He couldn't even back up on the Avalanche for all of these years.
He's horrendous.
As soon as I said he was having a pretty good game, all the goals started going in. So it turned into a crazy game.
I didn't check. What was the final score of that one?
It was 4-3 when I pulled in here. And at one point, I mean, Nashville had two shots in the entire first period of the game and then were winning at one point. So that one was getting crazy. But, yeah, the Avs are healthy. You still have concerns. Guys like Cale Makar coming in saying he's not quite there.
Yeah, that's tricky.
You know, you worry about that a little bit. Josh Manson, I mean, he suffered a lower body injury like all of last year, said he was good to go for the playoffs, and then said he tore his QL and his oblique muscle in like game three and tried to play through it and couldn't. So you wonder about, once these guys get into kind of the grind, are these repaired injuries holding up? I mean, Andrew Cogliano broke his neck, and he's trying to be ready for tomorrow.
And Colin, think about when you get out of bed and you're like, got to go mow the lawn. And you're like, oof, baby. Oof,
yeah.
That's a tough one.
I cracked two ribs in like February and it still hurts.
Oh, that's a tough one. Yeah, I can't imagine. I can't imagine like having an injury like that and then having these other dudes who are like 215 or whatever just smashing into you the whole night.
Yeah. Right in the same spot over.
It's so brutal. I think that because of that rest, though, obviously those are concerns, but hopefully, you know, people get right. But I think because of that rest, that extra rest, it sucks that they couldn't repeat whatever. They obviously didn't have it. It sucked. But because of that rest, I think that's a bonus. I think they're going to be hungry. I think they're going to be fired up to do it.
Yes, I agree. I actually talked to, I think you do like to fall back on the sort of the adage, like rest is a weapon, right? And Jared Bednar today was I asked him how he feels he maintained the players, you know, mental attention, their attention span throughout a long training camp and a long stretch here before opening night. And he said part of his strategy is rest. Like, he gave them Friday, Saturday off. They practiced Sunday, but he wasn't expecting like a high quality practice. You know, he tries to give them rest between drills. Rest is something I'm hearing more frequently now.
And even though they're young, in shape athletes, they still need a little bit of rest. They're not robots.
Something you're seeing more and more in the NBA as well.
Yeah.
Just a different mentality.
I remember reading like 5-10 years ago about how, you know, football teams in Europe, like the EPL or whatever, they had like sleep specialists on staff and they were monitoring their players' sleep. Like, I don't know if it was every night or the night before a game, and they had like required hours of sleep and they would work on them with that, you know, like just far and away ahead of the, you know, the technological side of sports science.
We all know just as grown adults, it affects not only your physical acuity, but your mental acuity as well. Greatly.
Yeah.
You're a lot sharper when you're getting proper amount of rest.
When as I've aged and I go and play hockey, I'm like, why can't I just get off the couch after sitting here all day and play? Like, why do I suck now? It's just you can't do stuff like that as you age.
No, of course not. So it affects them too. And that's coming back to the rest. I think it's great. And I think that's why it's good that they're favored. And I want to see good things from as far as Bednar goes. And obviously, you know, current success with the coaches, how would you rate him as like one of the coaches of the major teams in Denver? Is he at the top, you think? Like Malone, him and Malone, and then some of the other jackasses are below.
Yeah, I couldn't speak to the Rockies. I just know they don't lose. Need to. Yeah, I mean Sean Payton obviously has a legacy, right? But I mean I'm at that point with that team. I don't know if you want to talk about this later or now.
We're going to talk about it later.
Kick that can down the road.
We're going to talk about the Broncos later.
I'm at a point with him where I don't even know if it's his fault yet. And I think Bednar is up there in terms of, you know, Avalanche coaches. He's the winningest coach in team history. I think it's been very impressive what he's done with this organization, the way that he's managed talent like Nathan MacKinnon. And then I've been a fan of Malone since I worked for the Avalanche, and I just bump into him around the building, and he was always just a nice, personable guy, you know, to somebody who doesn't work with him, doesn't interact with him.
Did he want to trade dead tapes with you? Did he think you're a deadhead?
I think I hide my deadhead heritage very well. Okay, so, good. Yeah, he didn't know. But that probably would have endeared him to me more.
When those jackasses at the Denver Post called Bednar a Ken doll. How did that – I would imagine most of those guys are like, I don't give a shit what these dumbasses the Denver Post say. It doesn't affect me. But that seemed to like kind of fire – it fired people up that were like just fans of the team. Does that sneak into that organization where they go, hey, look at this, what this guy wrote about you. He called you a Ken doll. I mean, I'm sure he thought it was funny, or did he take offense to it?
I think – one, this is a dude who used to be a pugilist on the team, right? This is an enforcer guy that could beat the snot out of you back in the day.
Still beat the snot out of us now.
I'm not sure that he was bothered by it at all. I'm sure he has heard worse in his playing career.
Sure.
Right? He never made it to the NHL, so I'm sure he has heard worse. I'm sure the organization was aware of it and thought it was fodder. On the one hand, they probably just thought, you know, he's a pretty well-dressed, good-looking coach.
He's a handsome fella.
So I'm sure that it was fine. You know, he doesn't strike me as a guy that's really bothered by noise and things going on. He's just focused on the business. And then I don't know how much the rest of those guys pay attention to that stuff.
Well, and then it was done at a time where they had not won yet, and they were kind of getting into the playoffs, and it was kind of like – it was almost like they were setting up – they were laying the groundwork for if they don't win the Stanley Cup, then we can go back to, oh, look at this big dummy. He doesn't know what he's doing.
Yeah.
And it's a very like – almost like they're just like – they're laying out the red carpet for their take, right? And then I think – and it obviously spectacularly backfired on him.
I mean,
so.
If we don't want to name the individual, I know him on a professional level –
Kisla.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course it was Kisla.
I mean, it's no surprise.
I knew who it was, and I didn't know who it was.
Yeah, I mean, he has the ability, though, of doing things like that and coming out right regardless. You know, like, well, it was the inspiration. It was the motivation. It was, you know, me. I got it there.
Well, that's that from, that's like.
I would say, though, Bednar has been Ken-uff since then.
good one. Yeah. Barbie movie. Seen it?
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
Okay. No, I think that I think that's like the Woody Page playbook, right? You can say, "Hey, this guy sucks," and then when all of a sudden they don't suck anymore, he's like, "Well, I motivated him to. Yeah. I motivated him to be successful." And it's like, "No, you didn't. You fucking asshole." But we're gonna get into the we're almost at the first quarter. We're almost there. We just cooked through it. So we covered our Avalanche, but maybe we'll dip back into it. But we definitely got to cover some Broncos here too. I wanted to say real quick before we get off the NHL, the whole thing with the Pride tape that happened today.
Yeah,
you're familiar with it.
Yep.
So they banned the use of Pride tape on the sticks. Now, generally, this is just warm up, right? They can't have it in the game.
Yeah.
They have to have the right.
To my knowledge, nobody's played with it in a game.
No, they can't. And it's like it's almost like they wear like a camo jersey in the warm up to honor the troops, and then they auction it off, whatever, like that. They banned the Pride tape, and because like they had like
and this is a step after they've banned all specialty jerseys.
They did.
They will not be doing specialty jerseys for anything.
So at least they did that instead of saying we're gonna eliminate this one thing, this one gay thing. We're gonna eliminate this gay thing. So they got rid of that. But then it was the thing like, oh, there's seven guys who are like, you know, I'm a Christian. I can't have this on here. And then, you know, then they kind of got rid of it. As long as they got rid of all of it, I guess that's
which
a little
sports
bit better.
Players do you think are the least tolerant of lifestyles like that?
Like the least tolerant of gay people?
Yes. Baseball?
I mean, if it was, to me, a toss-up between baseball and hockey, probably, and I don't mean this in a disrespectful way, but they're kind of backwoodsy-ish sports, you know what I mean? So, I mean, not as, I guess, progressive in a cultural
sense. I think you get people from more rural areas, and whether that's Canada, United States, or like in like, you know, in like Central America or the Caribbean, you get people from a little more kind of like simpler backgrounds, and that might be the case.
That makes sense. It's a good take.
It's fascinating.
And go ahead. No. You do have, at least, you know, in basketball and football, an element of high school, college to pro pathway that you don't necessarily have, at least in hockey. You know, you have guys in junior who are learning potentially. But, you know, they're kind of leaving home at high school. Some guys jumping in the NHL at 18, like, your education stopped there.
Basketball, football, I don't want to say that, you know, basketball's certainly more urban. Football's fairly cosmopolitan now. It's very important to a lot of people. So I think you get a lot more different people. You get a little more diversity. Or at least those kids are faced with it a little more than they usually would. So are we – you got some tunes going there?
Yeah, I think...
Okay, hit that tunes. Yeah, hold on. Let's hit
it's
that.
Tricky. It's tricky for sure. I think I'm limited in what I could talk about the Pride stuff based on my employer, but...
Understood.
Yeah, I think, you know, we've seen the trajectory of how this is going.
Gotcha. Fascinating stuff. Let's get into the second quarter right after this.
The return of the South Stand's Denver fan cast is fueled by Cochino Taco, with locations in Old Town Arvada, Edgewater Marketplace, and on South Downing Street in Inglewood. Featuring mouth-watering Mexico City-style street tacos, unbelievable appetizers, burritos, enchiladas, and the famous queso burger, topped with American cheese, poblano chilies, jalapeno crema, fried jalapenos, and delectable melty queso. But let's not forget the best margaritas in town and happy hour from 11 to 6 every single day. Tell them the South Stand sent you and ask for your crunchy beef tacos, shaggy style. You'll thank us. Cold beer, stiff drinks, amazing food. That's Cochino Taco. It's the questions. It's the questions, boy. It's the questions. It's the questions. Come on. It's the questions. It's the questions, boy. Do the Broncos have the Rockies feeling rather smug about their 36.4% winning percentage? How did it feel for the current head coach of the Denver Broncos, who accused the former head coach of the Denver Broncos of being the problem with the Denver Broncos, feel about getting smoked by the former head coach of the Denver Broncos? Did Nathaniel Hackett present Sean Payton with the cookbook 101 Ways to Eat Your Crow? Did he at least mention the fact that he had won twice as many games by week 5? Which is true. In order to bring a little more heft to the offensive line, should the Broncos think about bringing in that dancing lady from the Jardiance commercial? If I were to play tight end for the Kansas City Chiefs on Thursday night, could we still beat the Broncos by 24 points? And if we did, would I get to bang Taylor Swift? Do the Las Vegas Raiders have the worst home field advantage this side of 20th and Blake? Prior to Monday Night Football, did the entire city of Las Vegas just reek of cheese? You have questions. We have answers. SouthStandsDenver.com, Colorado's finest internet sports talk since 1971.
Sounds good.
Excuse me.
Welcome back. So, you brought up something that's bothered me for a while now. This whole debate that everyone keeps going, whoa, are the Rockies going to be better than the Broncos soon? Have the Rockies enjoyed more success than the Broncos? And there's somebody put out a big stat, and they're like, since 2016, the Rockies' winning percentage has been way better than the Broncos. And I was like, what happened in 2016? Do you remember what happened in 2016?
The Broncos won the Super Bowl, right?
2015, they won the Super Bowl. Okay. In 2016, Peyton Manning retired, and then they're left with, was it Trevor Siemian or was it
Brock Osweiler?
No, he left after that. I think he bailed.
Oh, that's right. He went to Houston.
Yeah, he didn't play that next season. So it was like Trevor Siemian and like another guy.
Case Keenum?
Yeah, Case Keenum
was there. The revolving door of quarterbacks.
The carousel. You know the famous carousel graphic where it looks like the guys are jacking off? Yes, that's what happened. So they're leaving that little tidbit of information out. Let's go back to 1993. Let's take from when the Rockies started. Let's take that and take the winning percentages up till now. I will guarantee you the Broncos have a far better winning percentage.
Oh, yeah, but not now.
Their
winning percentage is 20% right now.
In 2016, it's been a shit show ever since. So we're getting close to 10 years of a shit show. I get that. Is it 10? Is that 10 or am I thinking more?
No, it's not quite 10. I think it's 7.
No, it's 7, but it will be 10 soon. So that's what I resent is everyone deciding to like take this opportunity to go. It's the love my sport guys that hockey gets, right? They have to complain that nobody's covering their sport. And it's like, yeah, whatever.
Who wrote this segment? Marilat?
Exactly. No, this wasn't even him. This was somebody else. And it was like, and then other people picked it up more like, and then it kept going like, well, they do a little polls. Oh, the Rockies, who's going to make the playoffs next? The Rockies or the Broncos? And it was like, the fucking Broncos are going to make the playoffs. It could be 10 more years and the Rockies are not going to make the fucking playoffs. I don't know that for sure, but I just basing on what I know about the teams, here's the deal. I rip on the Walton Peeners all the time on here, okay? They're just rich assholes. But guess what? They're going to throw money at this problem. They're going to throw more and more money at this problem until it fixes itself because that's what they do. Is Dick Montfort going to throw money at the problem? He's going to take his cut and maybe a couple bills left over. He'll throw that at the problem.
How many teams are in the MLB? Jeez.
32? Is it 32 teams?
Rockies finished 14th in home attendance this last year.
Absolutely.
That touches on another subject, which was also in the questions read, comparing the Las Vegas Raiders to the Rockies. And we've talked before about how, you know, we met with an executive from the Raiders before their new stadium opened, and he insisted that they would have strong home fan attendance, that it would never be it would never feel like a road game.
Yeah.
And absolutely the opposite is true. And it's exactly what happens at Coors Field. I think those two teams have that in common. Dodgers fans love to come to Coors Field, and Packers fans, it's fucking cold in Green Bay.
Yeah.
So if they're going to play in Las Vegas,
why not go out for the weekend?
Why not? By the fucking droves, mind you. I mean, if you looked at that Monday Night Football game, there was green and yellow.
It was probably 90 degrees during the day out there, right? It was probably hot as hell, and it was wonderful at night. What's funny is the
Golden Knights have a pretty strong home crowd.
They do. Yes,
they've pulled it off there somehow.
So do the Las Vegas Aces.
So let's figure that out. That's an interesting thing. The Raiders' sets differences is they thought, oh, we'll get a home crowd. The Rockies are like, we don't care if there's a home crowd.
We don't give a fuck. Okay.
Money's money.
An $11 hot dog is an $11 hot dog.
Yeah, it doesn't matter if the guy's wearing Dodger blue or Rockies purple. His money's still good with me. That's what Dick Montfort says. So that's an interesting thing. So you got Raiders fans. They just figure, oh, well, everyone's going to come and be Raiders fans. And it was like, well, you got Raiders fans probably all over. Sure, you probably have a lot in Las Vegas, but Are people going to really travel that? I mean, are they going to go for every home game from LA or wherever they're from, Oakland? And I don't know if they're going to. But with the Golden Knights, you have a ready-made thing where they go, "Hey, this is brand new. You're going to get on the ground floor,
homegrown.
This is your team. There's no other history here, or no other people coming in going, well, I used to be in this team when they were in LA. That's got to be it, right?
Yeah, I think so too. You get the relocation factor that hurts the Raiders. And then that's compounded by the Vegas thing.
Yes.
Well, because, yeah, fans of a team. Let's say you're a fan of the Detroit Lions, and they play the Raiders in December.
Absolutely you're going.
Of course.
Yeah. That would be awesome. Get out of Detroit.
To break the comparison with the Rockies, I mean, I've heard from fans, like Cubs fans, who say it's cheaper to fly out here and stay here and go to three games at Coors Field than it is to do that in Chicago. I don't know that going to a Raiders game is going to be cheaper than going to a home game for some of those fans.
No, and Golden Knights, too, which are very expensive tickets.
Right. But it is a destination.
It's a destination event. You're already going to go there. You're like, I'm going to go spend 3-4 days getting drunk and gambling. I'm going to go see the Islanders play because that's my team, whatever.
I'm going to go see the Raiders, Blue Man Group, go to that Sphere thing.
Oh, the Sphere. Have you guys seen the Sphere?
The Sphere is fucking dope.
Okay, we got to go see something at the Sphere, right? I'll even go see U2 at the Sphere. Okay,
fuck yeah, dude.
I'll
fuck
suffer
yeah.
through you too, because that looks fucking awesome. And if there was anything that was ready made for drugs, it's that thing. That is like, I mean, they might as well hand out handfuls of mushrooms at the door and just say, "Have fun. Don't fall down the steps. Don't piss yourself or whatever." But that looks awesome. And like I was talking to Scott this weekend. And I said, "Hey, we got to go see a show there." And he's like, "Well, I don't know what I would go see." And I said, "Well, I would definitely go see U2, but I'm sure, you know, they're going to be done probably in another, whatever their residency is." But I was like, "Fuck, I'll go see Madonna. I don't care. I'll go see whatever. As long as it's something that I could at least semi-enjoy, I think I would enjoy it. I think it'd be great."
So, oh, that place is fucking amazing.
It's the only thing that could get Roger Waters and what's his name, who I can't think of, David Gilmour back together.
Oh,
playing
can
at
you
the Sphere.
Imagine fucking Pink
Are you
Floyd.
Serious?
No, I mean, imagine if that happened.
That's not happening. Yeah. That's not happening. They hate each other. But that would be great. And I would love to. Imagine if Pink Floyd's like, "We're going to do a month of shows in Vegas." Be like, "I got to go see Pink Floyd."
We're going to do the wall at the Sphere.
Yeah.
It's going to cost you $1,000.
Cost you $1,000. And you might, the acid you take might permanently damage your brain, but it's going to be worth every fucking penny.
Yeah, it's made by Pfizer now.
It's made by Pfizer. So sponsored by Travis Kelce. So,
you see that Aaron Rodgers wants to debate him now.
Yes.
Yeah, so.
And he wants to debate him and Fauci.
Along with
Robert
Kennedy
Jr. Yeah. Or whatever the hell that guy's name is.
Yeah.
So
on the Pat McAfee show.
Look, I said, I'll take if Fauci's on my team, I'll take those dummies on. I'll take them on. I got no fear about that. That's just going to be a thing. Can you imagine Fauci going on there and those guys just being like, "Well, fucking Alex Jones said that you take too many vaccines and it's gonna make you gay," and he'd just be like, "What do you say to that? You can't debate with fucking people like that. There's no way."
It's probably not gonna happen. Ryan, why do we only have one IR spot in our fantasy hockey league?
Let's get into
it. It's hockey. Yeah, yeah. These guys get hurt all the fucking time. I drafted an injured goaltender. My only IR spot is already filled, and if I have somebody get injured, I'm fucked.
I mean, I immediately commented in the chat when you made that pick.
There you go. You just filled up your only IR spot.
Yeah, it's to make it more like I don't know, Game of Thrones, where you kind of got to kill a darling off to fill that slot, right? Like it's the best lineup is going to win, and sometimes you got to make that tough decision. And
listen, he's just catering the rules just to keep certain people from winning again and again, Colin. And he's afraid
of
you.
Every time I try to trim your little streamer strategy down, you guys complain about it. I'm like, what if you can only pick up four guys a week? And this guy over here is like, "No, that's not fair."
Colin, I'm doing the Lord's work behind the scenes, right? Every time they try to do something, I'm like a lobbyist trying to keep people from fucking shutting down some sort of oil thing where the kids are playing, and I'm trying to make this happen. You know, I'm trying to make sure that we can still play.
Work in your back channel.
There's part of me that wants to know how it plays out if you can't just maximize the number of games played per week, right? You have to kind of live and die by the roster.
You got to live and die by the schedule, which, as we know, the NHL fucking does a horrible job with the schedule. So you could have a week where you've got your a team with your best players is playing twice. And
I mean, I already – it's night one, and the second game is going. I already have FOMO because I have, two guys playing tonight. That's it. Yeah, I hear you.
Well, there you go. They had three games. Opening night, they have three games. I couldn't add a fourth.
Well, the first game started at 3:30. What do you want from them?
I want another fucking game so when I get home, I can watch it.
I got 7.5 points out of that first game.
We're gonna get into the half.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, we're going to get half in a second. But let me ask you this, Ryan, as a commissioner. It's not like it's a job that, you know, is like, you know,
rewarding.
It takes all your time, you know, it's like, yeah, rewarding. It takes all your time and, you know, you're really dedicated to it. But is it thankless or is it just basically something that you have to do? I'm a commissioner in a lot of leagues, so I know.
I think you guys have probably seen my commissioner quality ebb and flow depending on my commitment at the time. Like, there have been times where I write long emails and good season stuff, and then this year it's Sunday and I'm like, can you guys draft tomorrow at 6:30?
Yeah,
I want to thank you though. Not one person said no. Everybody was present.
It's during Monday Night Football. That's the perfect time for a draft.
I've had far less commitments weeks in advance. I've got this or that. Everybody was like, yes. And I had to add two new teams this year because I'm kicking people who aren't playing out. You know, it's always the guy with Connor McDavid or somebody who's just not setting their lineup.
Yes, yes. That was awesome. I was glad.
Yeah, I was shocked, though. Everybody, I knew somebody was going to say no, and not one person did.
No, that's incredible once you can get everybody on the same page. But a Monday is good. I think a Monday night is good.
Yeah, and was perfect.
No, it's good. It's good. I think as long as you can get the league going and get people to at least do the draft, then you're kind of like, here you are, my children. Here you are. I've set you in motion. Let's do it.
Spread
your wings and fly up. I've allowed us to draft. We're good. I think that's the main thing. Hopefully there's never, too many disagreements you don't have to deal with, but most times you just set it in motion and go.
It's pretty easy. I also felt like the urgency of the season starting the next day helped everybody can't really say no.
I guess we better draft.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea.
Sounds good.
I like that.
Yeah.
Let's get into the second half already, and we might have to talk some Broncos very soon. I know everyone's just champing at the bit to get to it. So let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
Epic Western Premium Tequila canned cocktails are the genuine article. They're made with 100% blue agave tequila from a small artisan distillery in the highlands of Jalisco, Mexico. Not with a bunch of malt liquor and sugar like other canned cocktails. That's why Epic Western cocktails are crisp, clean, and delicious. Choose from Ranch Water, Chispa Rita, La Paloma, or Brush Fire. They're a spicy take on a skinny margarita. Each delicious 12-ounce cocktail contains zero sugar and only 5 grams of carbohydrates. Made in Mexico, 8% alcohol by volume, made with real blue agave tequila. That's Epic Western, the genuine article. Ryan, sorry you couldn't actually do sports, but
Woo! We're going to pretend you did sports. So
loud.
That the epic Western thing, we tried that. And I'm not saying this just because we were trying to get him as a sponsor. That was delicious. And I think about it all the time.
They're great.
They're pretty really good.
I'm willing to try it.
It's really good. It's,
I fucking love them.
It like I think if you had like a pint and you had some ice and poured it over that, it was like a very like very crisp, like almost like organic margarita.
Yeah, and it's not right? It's not like all full
fresh.
Of sugar.
Yeah, it's not fresh. It's not full. Not real sweet. I don't like sweet stuff. And yeah, it wasn't like that. It had really good tequila
taste.
The
Paloma is awesome.
Well, I'm gonna check it out. But
now, most of them are like Zima. They're basically like Zima. They're
summer's over though. It's like, you know, that would be nice for sitting outside.
I'm a tequila guy year round. Although, boy, you know what I've been drinking lately? Last couple of days is Rock and Rye. Have you ever had Rock and Rye?
No, but
it's like an old fashioned in a bottle. It's whiskey and sugar essentially. It
sounds delicious.
I like a nice whiskey. I won't lie. I like a nice sip of whiskey every now and then. Ryan, I know you do too. What's your favorite whiskey?
Well, my favorite, that's tough. I was going to say I really fucked my back up at the start of the summer, and I had a friend leave a bottle of Stranahan's at my house, and I hadn't had it.
That's right.
Stranahan's is great.
I had a friend who said he didn't like it, and he was kind of like my whiskey guy, so I hadn't had it. And I ended up thanking the guy who left the Stranahan's at my house. I'm like, this literally got me through like a pinched nerve, like weeks of a pinched nerve, just drinking whiskey like in bed and stretching was all I did.
Oh, Stranahan's is awesome.
Yeah. So Stranahan's good. Got me through that.
I can't believe he said he didn't like it.
And it ain't cheap.
Either. Oh, no.
It was different people. Yeah, it wasn't cheap. Okay. It was like a $75 bottle.
Yeah,
or something.
That's some of those can get pretty pricey. But
I'm a whiskey guy. I've been doing gin and tonics, too. I've got a Monkey Barrel or whatever. I can never remember the name of it. Gin that's like a $75 bottle of gin that's pretty good.
I bet it's good. But gin used to make me really black out. So I don't really drink it anymore.
Nice.
I drank a lot of gin, and let me back up. I probably drank way too much gin and I blacked out, but it definitely made me black out.
Yeah.
And I don't black out at all. Like I can drink a ton and I have drank a ton and I wouldn't black out. I'd always be pretty conscious, but gin would make
it.
Gin, that veil would come over my eyes and I'd be like, ooh, and I'd be out of it. So
I've got a good collection. I have like a Woodford Reserve. I think I haven't opened that I'd like to try. I've got some good whiskeys.
It's good. I like it. Let's talk shit about St. Louis real quick.
Oh, please.
The city or the team?
All of it, really.
The fans.
Now, let me, and listen, you can chime in. I don't want to get you in trouble. This is our thing. This is our thing now. We don't get people in trouble anymore, right, Colin?
Tangled Up in Blues is the best name for a blog.
It is really good. No, we were talking about Kadri during the break and, you know, Kadri's, kind of his adventures. And when Kadri got knocked into Binnington in that Stanley Cup playoff game and then busted his knee up, okay, we all remember what happened. Maybe he could have bailed out. I don't know. But somebody knocked him into Binnington. It wasn't like him jumping onto his knee. And then he's getting interviewed later, and Binnington throws the water bottle at him. Binnington's just is an asshole. We all hate Binnington. My main thing was, and I got really upset by this, was our old friend Benjamin Hockman, who was a Denver Post sports guy, wrote about the Nuggets. He was like the columnist for the Post. He's from St. Louis. He went back there, his dream job, working for a
the
paper.
Dispatch, yeah.
Yeah, in St. Louis. And you know, awesome for him. When that happened, he didn't exactly lean into the anti-Kadri stuff, but he didn't lean out of it. And I really didn't like that. And I've never really said this publicly because I like Ben. He's a good dude. He's always been super nice to me. But I really felt that he just allowed those fucking assholes in St. Louis to kind of that anger to boil over. And then we had the thing with people threatening his life and he had to get the police involved and they're fucking calling him racist stuff. I just figured as a guy like Ben's a Jewish guy. I know that the St. Louis sports fans are very white and notoriously racist from what I've been told. I just felt that he could have done a better job of deflecting some of the hate.
Be the voice of reason here.
Be the voice of reason. But he kind of leaned into it a little bit, and I didn't like that. And I don't know if any of you guys noticed that when that happened. I mean, this is 2 years ago.
Do you cater to that audience? knowing you're stoking the readership and maybe getting them to come to you. I don't know.
I don't think he. That's not his. That's not his MO. That's not
he's
the
no Kisla.
That's not the guy he is. But I think he. And this thing, if you just go, I'm gonna remove myself from this because I don't want to get in the middle of it. I totally get that. He didn't exactly dispel it. He didn't exactly remove himself from it.
Yeah.
And I thought that was bullshit. And I really kind of was like a little disillusioned with that because I thought here's a moment where you should be like, hey, this was a fucking accident. You thought it was an accident, right?
Oh yeah.
Okay. This is an accident. This is just what happens in a game. This is unfortunate. This sucks. Our guy got hurt. I didn't think they were going to beat him anyway, but they weren't going to beat the Avalanche anyway. But I just think that it could have been a moment where you go, hey, everybody, fucking take a chill here. We need to relax. And we need to chill with the fucking, you know, the anti fucking Muslim stuff. We need to chill with this stuff. And I just don't think that happened.
You know, it's funny, too, because there was a press conference and Craig Berube is the coach of the Blues. And I think he was asked about it and he didn't respond in a way that I think most people expected. And I was in the next press conference from there where he addressed it. And he said, like, I didn't know any of this was going on, and made the statement. And it was kind of funny because we all sat there waiting for the next person and nobody was like putting this information that he said out there. So I tweeted it and it went everywhere. Like Paul Bissonnette was retweeting it and stuff like that. But I think Berube deserves a little slack. He's native, you know, and
Native American. Yeah.
And he like this, you don't think this is a guy that's gone through a lot of that stuff in his career. So, you know, maybe giving him a little break for not being aware of what is happening to a player not on his team.
I totally get that because why would he give a shit of something that's happening outside?
Yeah, exactly.
His...
He's got to worry about what's going on with his guys. But yeah,
absolutely. I think
it
what
was
he,
an
I,
ugly situation.
Yes,
and you hate to see it, and maybe you're not surprised to see it come out of St. Louis. I mean, like, would you have been surprised if it had come out of Boston? I don't think so.
No.
It's just that's ugly. I hear what you're saying about Hockman, and I too like know him and know he's a good guy. He's always been good to me, so it's weird. It's weird to not be the voice of reason for something like that. But then you wonder if there's something else there that maybe you're not thinking about.
I totally get it, and I'm thinking like if maybe he said something like, "Hey, everybody needs to chill out." What's the backlash for him? I get that. I totally get that, but. I don't know, man. You got to take stands here and there. You know, you got to be like, hey, this is bullshit.
You are a columnist. That's kind of part of it. But so is being a homer, I think, generally.
Yeah, but it really sucks when you get a St. Louis homer or a Chiefs homer like that Taylor Swift. Big time Chiefs homer, that lady. You know?
Yes, she is.
You know, I've seen people debate whether if they
if
put
it's real.
Well, no. If they put her in the backfield, if she can fucking put up 100 yards in the Broncos.
Oh, I imagine she
I think she could.
I think she could get through the offensive line, no problem.
I think she could. She's got long legs. She can get galloping. She could get galloping.
Not
on
if
there.
Not if they sign that Jardiance lady, though. She could definitely knock open some holes.
Are you? You know what? I was thinking about commercials and all the commercials that are on there, and there's a lot of those that are like. One of them I see, I don't know if it's on during a lot of games, but there's one where basically one of the side effects is your taint splits open.
Wow.
Do you know about this
one? Is that
what
they say?
They do not say taint. They say an infection of the perineum may occur.
And I was like, an infection or it's splitting open? Like, are we talking something from the thing here? Like a face hugger from aliens coming out of there?
If you're a woman, you have a second vagina. If you're a man, you have a first vagina. From this thing.
Well, so a lot of people want those these days.
Somebody, hey, that might appeal to somebody. I don't want that because that just means I've got to
wear
a diaper.
Another thing to take care
just
of.
Just another thing to
in this economy.
There's terrible. So many of these medicines that have the most sky rizzy. Who the fuck? I want that job. Yeah. I want that
some
job. I want to be the guy
terrible.
Who names meds.
I was just on Cipro as an antibiotic. And one of the like a prominent side effect is just death. Yeah.
Is that how far is that list on the list?
It's like fourth. You know, like they list them in order of
one's
what
like,
can happen.
One's like taint splitting open, death.
Yeah. The first one is like you could rupture your Achilles. The second one is if you have an aortic aneurysm, you're probably gonna die. And then the next one is or you could just die.
Oh my god. Yeah.
And then
awesome.
Like down the list, it's like headaches or nausea.
Trunk butt.
Yeah. Let's get to trunk butt.
hangnail.
Yeah, you definitely don't want trunk butt from that. So,
dude, Sunday, I've got to tell you, I'm just absolutely glorious. My wife was not home most of the day. We had an early game with the Jags-Bills over in London. I set up my laptop on my back porch. It's like 68 degrees in the morning, 75-degree day. Fall leaves gently falling into my yard. Watching Red Zone and playing fantasy literally all goddamn day. From beginning to end, all the way through the end of Sunday Night Football. It was absolutely glorious. And the least impressive part of the entire day was the Denver Broncos. Like I'm learning that I am a bigger fan of the NFL as a whole than I am of the Denver Broncos, at least right now.
I am too. I'm a big fan of the NHL, as I know you are, Ryan. It helps that the Avalanche are so good because that's fucking must-see viewing. But I like the other teams too. I like watching all of it. Fantasy helps in that, and I know that helps for all things. When you got fantasy on the line, you're like, I need to check out who got all the assists and
micro investments in other teams.
Exactly, and that helps. I think that helps for all of it. Football, hockey for me, I think it really makes you invest your time in it, but. Yeah, it's great.
I thought I was going to have a good fantasy team this year, and my team has been dog shit. Part of it is me. I feel like it doesn't matter who I put in the lineup. There's always going to be the guy that goes off.
You're always going to have 28 points.
I was like, the hockey league just started. No, you're talking about
DeAndre
football.
Swift had that massive game on my bench. Mostert, the game against the Broncos my bench.
Oh, no.
Because I put Swift in.
Oh, no. Just like, you got to start everybody against the Broncos.
Sell off.
I'm starting Taylor Swift against the Broncos.
There you go.
Yeah. Fuck yeah. Someone's like talking about starting Andy Reid. I was like, well, you're talking about Andy Reid, right?
Yeah, that was me.
Yeah, I was like, Andy Reid would really do you right, I think. So, well, listen, let's get into the fourth quarter already.
God, the Broncos play on Thursday. Chiefs.
So that's why we got to talk about it. But I also got to ask Ryan about some Star Wars stuff. I'm assuming you're watching Star Wars stuff, Ryan.
No? I have just started Andor, so I'm behind.
Oh, it's the best one.
Okay, it is the best one.
I'm behind, but I will say it came highly recommended to me by Paul Ladd, who works for KSE, does like Avs 360 stuff.
Yep.
Big Star Wars guy. And I'm two episodes in. I love the first episode. Like, it's just dark and gritty and grim, and I really like that stuff.
We're gonna,
it resonates.
We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about that right after this. Jump and sound over, so jump and back up to the gate. You figure, go, 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 me attack, go.
Sportique is where scooters come from and has been for over 25 years. And now, Sportique is also the place for e-bikes. E-bikes from ScootStar, genuine scooter company, and the Jackrabbit, the 20-mile-per-hour, 20-pound mini machine that fits comfortably in the trunk of your car. So, turn to Sportique for all your scooter needs, parts, service, accessories, and apparel. And now, e-bikes. Visit SportiqueScooters.com or their expansive showroom at 160 South Broadway in the shadow of downtown. Sportique, where scooters come from.
I know it. Friend Sally says she knows you. Got a funny point of view. Says you've got you, I know this. Way yes. What's tell me this?
This Fontaine's DC.
That's right. Oh, I forgot all about
so
that.
Good.
So good. These guys are great. Well, I can't see those failing. Like three records, maybe three albums. They're all really good. Yeah. Does it come as a surprise? I think the singer is from Scarries in Ireland, where Sara's from, and I gotta ask her if she knows the kid. I bet she might know him.
What was the name of this band?
Fontaine's DC.
Fontaine's DC. Really good. Yeah, it's excellent.
Super
song.
Irish. Half of the song titles, you're like, what does this even mean?
It's all very, very Irish. I love it. We were talking before the break about TV. Now, I know you like your sci-fi, Ryan, and You know, we're always talking about Dune.
Yeah, if I just went to the creator like this weekend.
Oh, how was that?
I liked it a lot.
Yeah?
It could have used probably 30 more minutes for elaborating on the story, but the world building is awesome. John David Washington, I love everything he's in.
If there's a Dune update, Ryan's sending it my way.
Yeah.
Okay. If there's anything needs to now, chances are I've already seen it, but I appreciate
you're up earlier than me. I'll send it to you and then like scroll Twitter and be like, "Shit, he had this 2 hours ago."
But you know what? I appreciate the thought. I know you care. So, but yeah, I kind of figured maybe you were up on your Star Wars, but you said you were watching Andor, and it's universally of the series, it's the best one. It's fantastic.
That's what I've heard. That's what I'm watching.
And Rogue One was really good. If you like Rogue One, you would like this.
I actually didn't like
Rogue
One.
Oh, you didn't like Rogue One.
And that's the creator is Gareth Edwards, who did Rogue One.
Oh, okay.
And I'm a big fan of his. My issues with Rogue One were, A, they pitched you a movie in the first trailer, fired people, redid the entire movie, and it was a different movie that came out. And aside from that, I just have a hard time connecting with Jin and caring about anything that happens to her.
Whoa, is that because she's a woman? Whoa.
No, it's just because she's a very shallow, kind of hollow protagonist.
Sure.
And I feel like, Fight Club-y kind of go with the flow doesn't really affect the story much. It's just kind of like, I'm a passenger in this story.
But Andor is very good. And I bring up Andor because I just finished watching Ahsoka. Do you know what Ahsoka is?
Oh, yeah, it just came out.
Yeah,
I'm still on Kenobi.
I'm sorry.
Do you like Kenobi?
I'm not that far in. I liked the fact that Leia was a little girl.
Yeah, and it builds. It gets a little better as they go along. Ahsoka is better than Kenobi, but it's based on the kids' cartoon. It's based on the Clone Wars and Rebels.
Well, all of them kind of are.
More based on Rebels, the cartoon Rebels. And which is fine. I was kind of complaining about that because like, well, I haven't seen this. I don't know anything about it. I can figure out what's going on. But it seems like there's so much mythology about that. But here's the deal. I started watching Rebels because I finished Ahsoka and I was like, I like to complain. I don't know if you guys knew this about me.
What?
Yeah. Shocking.
I like to complain.
Breaking news.
And I thought if I
make a change to the fantasy league, you better believe I'm hearing about it from this guy.
But I said, if I'm going to effectively complain about something, I need to understand it. I got to make sure I am educated about this. So I started watching Rebels. Rebels is fine. It's a kid's cartoon. The animation is horrible. Like, it's bad, like YouTube, computer-generated graphics. It sucks. But the action's good. It flows. If you like Star Wars, it's kind of like nonstop Star Wars action. The problem is those same people are the ones that made these other shows, like Ahsoka and The Mandalorian. Mandalorian is good.
To a point.
To a point. But I think what it is these guys have made kids' cartoons that are very choppy and the dialogue is very fast and it moves quick for short attention spans. That's the problem because they try to make a long, an hour-long episode and they try to make it deep and it is not deep and it comes off as cheesy. Does that make sense?
Yeah, but I will take it a step further and just say it's Disney is the issue here because it's the same thing with some of the Marvel stuff. Like, on the one hand, you can have Loki, which is really good, and on the other hand, you have Secret Invasion, which is trash.
That was trash.
And then, you know, with Disney, like, you have the start of The Mandalorian, which was a great space western, and then it turns into kind of something else, and you're suddenly Wikipedia-ing what the Darksaber means because you have no idea.
Yeah.
And, I was really excited for Kenobi, and it just felt like it doesn't peek over a sort of a juvenile comprehension level. And there's some cool stuff in it that happens. But I struggled with a lot of it. Like Secret Invasion, I felt like they just couldn't overcome having built the hype up for their own show. And they had a great episode. I think the best episode starts with Nick Fury and the relationship with his wife. And you're like, they have the ability to do something really powerful here. And then they just don't.
They just don't do it.
And so part of my issue with any of these shows, and it hasn't happened with Andor yet, but it's like we can have an adult and child product that works together really well without making it really dumb and child only.
And you think that's Disney?
Well, I don't know why Star Wars has really become like you can have adult themes in it that children don't understand, you know, but they grasp the concept of good and evil or whatever.
Sure.
You don't have to dumb it down to a child's comprehension level to be successful, I think.
I gotcha.
And that's kind of why, like, the original stuff worked so well, because it wasn't for kids. But once they discovered how much money they could make.
It definitely went for kids. Yeah. Yes.
That was my issue.
Speaking of comprehension, the Broncos, I don't know if they can comprehend winning a game.
I can't comprehend how bad they are. I mean, I can't even fucking believe it. I mean, that loss to the Jets is so embarrassing on every level.
Absolutely.
And it's only exacerbated by the fact that Sean Payton blamed Nathaniel Hackett publicly for everything that went wrong last season. And then Hackett comes in here with his team, wipes the floor with the Broncos. Absolutely fucking embarrassing. And this is a team that had 70 points hung on it by Miami. There is no light at the end of the fucking tunnel right now.
I mean, we all knew Hackett was terrible.
He's bad.
Absolutely terrible. But then Sean Payton just put on his little clown nose and did his clown walk to the clown car and drove right off the Grand Canyon here.
Players love Nathaniel Hackett. And that was clear on Hard Knocks. Like, they love him. Aaron Rodgers loves him.
They all say they love Vance Joseph, too, though. They're like, oh, I love Vance. Yeah, he's great. They said that when he was head coach.
He can't coach his way out of a phone booth. But Hackett was only to get Aaron Rodgers to come here anyway, right? Yeah, there's no we're not disillusioned about that.
When we were talking to Albright last week, he was talking about this coaching search and how it kind of went south. I think the same thing happened with Hackett too. I think they thought we're going to get Aaron Rodgers with this. This is going to be great, and then it all fucking went sideways. So, I think that.
I look at the schedule. I don't know how many more games they're going to win.
But this was
I don't think they're going to.
Wasn't the first five games the easiest part of the whole schedule?
Oh, yeah. They have like the second hardest schedule in the NFL, I think, going forward. Yeah. So, good. I hope they don't win any. I hope they don't win any more. I hope they win. They've won that one game and that's it.
I wanted that game to end in a tie, too.
Well, that would have been all right.
Just the chaos.
Oh, yeah. That would have been really good.
Neither team wins.
No, the Bears won this weekend.
I know.
And it was ridiculous.
And
it was
a ridiculous game. I don't know how the Panthers. So maybe you guys know this.
The Bears have the Panthers pick.
The Bears have the Panthers pick. So if the doesn't matter what the Panthers do, right? Okay. So really, it's just the Bears.
The Broncos.
Right?
It's a race to the bottom. But the Broncos need to be worse than the Panthers.
Do the Broncos have a first this year?
See, that's what I don't
heard. I heard that they did not.
No, I think they do.
Too lazy to go look.
No, I think they do. Yeah. I don't think they have a second. I think that's what they gave up for Peyton. The first was already gone. I think that was gone in this new draft, which, again, you come back to that, I'm like, God, they're just giving up first-round picks, second-round picks for this guy. I hope he pans out. I don't know. It's unclear whether he's going to or not. I would hope that in another year we're not in the same situation, that he's like got the people he needs. He's gotten rid of Vance Joseph. He's gotten rid of the GM, whatever he needs to get it going. But I think they've got a first. Otherwise there'd be no incentive to tank, right? You'd be like, well, shit, we don't have a first. Why bother? So,
yeah, I think he's going to take it down to the rafters and he's going to ship George Payton out and bring in somebody who worked with him in New Orleans to be a shadow general manager so that he can be the de facto general manager.
Yeah, that's what I was kind of saying at the top of the show. I'm at the point where I can't even blame Sean Payton because it seems like just the makeup of this roster is so bad.
It is bad.
That you're like, you want to blame the coach, but he is already, like, it's already past him how bad this team is.
He's in a good position where he can ultimately, and he probably wouldn't do this, although him even talking about Hackett was very bizarre.
He's a dick.
Yeah, he's kind of a dick.
He's a fucking dick. I can't root for the guy.
Like, you could
guy that was played by Kevin James in a movie.
Yeah. Well, you could
and
have
the
said,
Jets tweeted a photo of Kevin James after the game.
But you could have said, hey, I don't know what was going on, but I don't think they handled Russell Wilson very well. It just didn't work out. You know, I think, you know, there's other ways to do it. But he called him out by name. And I'm sure he probably regretted it at some point. But I was like, that just, you know, you can say a lot about that and say these, you know, oh, they somebody coached him wrong, whatever. You don't have to say anyone's name. Everyone can figure out who you're talking about. But he had to say the guy's name. Yeah, well, they got what they deserved, right?
God, it's embarrassing.
It's really embarrassing.
I mean, it really is. I don't even want to wear my Broncos shit out of the house. Oh, I wore Rockies gear.
Oh.
Yeah. Because
they have a better winning percentage since 2016. Higher, did you know that?
Yeah.
Did you know that? You heard that?
36.4.
They're committed to winning, too.
Totally committed to winning. That I come back to that again, though. Peyton will probably he'll blow everyone out after this disastrous season. Hopefully he gets the first pick and can get a generational quarterback. That'd be great. But
of course he's going to get killed behind that offensive line. That sucks. Yeah.
True, but you know, that's the learning experience for the young guy. But they have to they have to just get this right, and I think that if it takes them, you know, tanking and doing whatever they got to do, they got to do it. They have to do something because it's getting worse and worse. It's been since 2016. It's getting worse every season, and I just don't see any improvement. Still better than the Rockies, though.
The worst part of the season is just the hope at the beginning dying right in front of your eyes.
Right, immediately, away.
Instantaneously.
Like, give us 8 games of hope.
And you have to wait, you know, so long for the next season to come around.
For it to be over after Game 5.
I love the whole league, but I think my team is going to be the Lions this year.
You're going to root for the Lions?
Yeah, I like
them. Fuck yeah, root for the Lions. But I mean, even like the Raiders have, like, they won a game the other night, and like, they, like, wow, you got a little hope. That's awesome. I mean, they're not going anywhere, but I guess you could be the Raiders where you could get a little further than the Broncos, but you're still going to end up in the same spot. That sucks too, but winning a few games along the way is kind of nice. You at least want that.
It's,
you know,
so rewarding for me that I know a guy who is a Raiders fan. He lives in England. He's British and is somehow a Raiders fan.
Wow.
Right? And before the season, he's talking shit about the Broncos. And I'm like, yeah, but your coach is Josh McDaniels.
Yes,
and he's
like,
I'm high on him. I'm like, just your coach is Josh McDaniels. Just wait. And it's week 5 and he's bitching about Josh McDaniels. And I'm like, I told you.
Oh, Josh McDaniels is terrible, and I would imagine that once their season goes in the crapper, I don't know how many years he's got, that they're not going to keep him around for too much longer.
Josh McDaniels is terrible, but you know who's really terrible is fucking Belichick.
Oh, but he's got a terrible team.
I love to watch that empire come crashing.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome.
It's so satisfying.
But did you see Mark Davis with his hot blonde sitting at the thing? What's going on with that? What the fuck?
Dude, he's a billionaire.
Yeah, money buys everything, I guess.
Not a haircut, though.
Yeah, that haircut. That's what I was saying. I was like, you know, rich people don't get rich, you know, by wasting money. They're always looking to save a buck. He's saving a buck on that haircut.
He uses a Flobee.
Oh, I guarantee.
Very obvious. One thing I wanted to say before we get out of here is just how weird it was. Saturday, I was at work, and I've had days like this before. January 6th was one of these days. Where
you were at the Capitol and you got maced?
No, that was a Saturday too. Or no, that was a Friday. All these tweets are coming across. Like, I'm watching Twitter all day, or X, or whatever the fuck it's called.
Twitter.
And Q. That was the day that Israel got attacked and attacked back. And so there, I watch a lot of hard news accounts and right wing accounts, left wing accounts, you name it. And there's all this stuff coming in about all the death and destruction and babies dying and things. And then college football. You know, here's Peter Burns. And,
yeah.
You know, LSU this and CS. It's like, wow, it's such an interesting dynamic when major world news is happening in real time and you're catching it on Twitter. And then people who are so oblivious and talking about sports.
Well,
I heard that there was a lot of misinformation too, where it was just like old video was going, making the rounds.
Of course.
Know?
Yeah.
Which is, you know, it sucks that we can't even get factual news.
No. That's what you can't trust that as a news source anymore. I mean, maybe you couldn't before, but you definitely can't now. But, that's the thing. First of all, to some people, That's a world away. It literally is. It's fucking way far away. Why should they have to care about that? Now, I know why they should have to care about that, but if someone's just
because World War III might be starting.
You know, if someone's just like, hey, I'm just sitting here in Georgia and I'm just interested in my college football teams. I don't even know where, I can't even find that on a map. They have no interest in that. And well,
they're not following hard news accounts.
Well, they're blissfully unaware, and they don't know if anything. Or they've seen this throughout their lifetime and be like, yeah, everyone's going to blow each other up and kill each other, and then we'll forget all about it in a couple weeks. So
it's like Chevy Chase used to lead out Weekend Update on SNL saying, trouble in the Middle East.
It's like, yes.
Every single week.
Yeah, it's interesting.
He's trying to make his comeback here.
I saw that.
I've seen a lot of PR world tour kicking up for old Chevy.
I saw that, but he didn't do himself any favors because he was like talking about being on Community, and he was just like, yeah, I didn't think it was very funny.
Yeah.
And I was like, Community was pretty funny.
Literally everyone on that show talked about how terrible you were to work with.
Absolutely.
I don't know why picking on them was the thing.
Yeah, if he's doing a PR tour, he's not doing a very good
job. That's what I'm wondering, what the PR tour is for.
I don't know, his name or something
popping up. You're like, what's happening here?
Put it this way. Joel McHale was on that show. Joel McHale was in the movie about the Harvard Lampoon guy. You know what I'm talking about? I can't think of his name. Will Forte played him. He's the guy that started the Harvard Lampoon, or he joined it. Very funny guy. The guy wrote Animal House.
Yeah.
And it's excellent. It's very good. It was on Netflix. I don't know if it's still on there. And Joel McHale played Chevy Chase in this, and he just portrayed him as the biggest coked out fuckhead in the world. And
is
I was like,
pre or post Community?
This is post Community.
Oh God, I bet he relished
that. And so he probably was like, yes, I'll play Chevy Chase and portray him as a coked out asshole.
Yeah.
So I think that
pleasure.
was very apt as far as that went. So
I have to say, I was pretty disappointed. I was at Fiddler's Green 2 weeks ago, and the Viagra Boys are on, and they're singing sports, and I'm like, oh, I've never heard this. These guys are going to love this. And I send it out, and you're like, we've done it.
Yeah,
the old South Park Simpsons did it.
Scott did it like a week before that, I think.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Okay, so I wasn't that far behind.
No.
I was like, I don't know if these guys are new or old or what.
No.
I know is they, like, one, the keyboard player was in a wife beater and jorts, like Daisy Dukes, and they had multiple saxophone solos. The lead singer was just in track pants with his gut hanging out, singing about sports.
Sounds awesome. Sounds like a Saturday. Sounds like a college football Saturday for me. Love me some college football. Let's get out of here. Ryan, it's been a pleasure. Thanks for coming in yet again. We always appreciate your insight, your time. Tell everybody where they can find you. Are you doing doing your hockey show on Mile High Sports?
Yeah,
still?
I don't think the hockey show is happening.
Okay,
we've lost half of it, so I don't foresee it happening now. We'll see where I land audibly.
Okay.
But yeah, NHL.com, you can find my stuff. I'm on Twitter. I'm on Blue Sky. I'm on Threads.
Yeah.
Whichever one of that death match wins out is probably where you'll find me.
Hell yeah. Blue Sky. I'm gonna look you up on Blue Sky. I do a little Blue Sky. Yeah, it's good.
It's weird.
I've never even heard of it.
Oh, come on. It's a Twitter clone.
It was supposed to be the Twitter killer, but then it's not great.
It's the guy that started Twitter or worked in Twitter started this, so. Ryan, thank you so much. We appreciate it. Thanks for coming in.
It's a pleasure.
It's a good time. South Sands Denver Fancast. Not only we got the Avalanche starting here very soon, Wednesday night, right? They're playing Wednesday, I think. Wednesday. We've got your Denver Nuggets starting up very soon, and we're going to get into that here in the following week.
Sports.
So,
the Avs acquired Popeye Jones' son today.
Caleb Jones.
Yeah.
That's right. Yep. So that's good. I'm glad they did that. So we can get the Jones family back in the mix. So good stuff, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. Until next time, adios.
We love you, Denver!
really intelligent. Yeah. Like, literary level intelligent. Yeah. I got into that.
I was like, I don't know if they.